Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons, here with Norman Quarantine. Norman, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm looking forward to discussing the week in wrestling, as it were.
Yeah, we're going to do this show right after both Elimination Chamber and Monday Night Raw, and we are getting closer and closer to WrestleMania 39. So we're going to talk the results of those two shows and what we think is going to be happening here. Strange challenges already happening. Brock Lesnar and Omos, for some reason, apparently seems to be on the radar. We'll talk a little bit about all these things. But let's start with the Elimination Chamber. Let's first go, what'd you think of the pay-per-view? Did you like it?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was decent. It was some fun matches. You know, we'll get to the way the show ended a little bit later, but yeah, it was a hot crowd and some pretty fun matches. And yeah, I would say it maybe exceeded expectations a little bit, but you know, it was pretty decent.
Well, I'll tell you, we talked about it before we were doing our prediction show. We were kind of picked our winners and what we thought, and I had mentioned, I'm like, the Elimination Chamber matches were the two matches that I wasn't really even thinking about, right? It was kind of Sammy and Roman and maybe Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. But the chamber matches themselves had flown under the radar for me, but they were actually really good. Like both of the women's chamber match, which was maybe not as good as the men's, but the men's was really solid. And there was a lot of really good action, an interesting swerve at the end. Montez Ford with a huge standout performance. I'm going to let you decide, though. Which match do you want to talk about first? With the women's match, the Lesnar and Lashley, Judgment Day versus Phoenix, men's, let's and do then it. Sammy and Roman.
Let's do it in order, I guess, of the, if you're okay. In the order of the card. Yeah, let's do that.
So the women's chamber match was up first. Mm. I had predicted it was either going to be Asuka or Raquel Rodriguez. Asuka does get the win here. She's going to be going on to WrestleMania to face Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. I thought this was a good prediction. There was a couple things that surprised me about this one. Liv Morgan got eliminated fairly easily. I thought we were thinking maybe she would have a bigger impact here. Raquel was solid. Took a lot to get rid of her. Other than that, I don't think there was anything too memorable about the match itself. Carmella hiding in the chambers were kind of funny. Being really trash-talking and then just trying to get away from everybody by hiding in the chambers. I thought it was okay. It was maybe the least of the multiple matches on there in terms of in-ring quality and entertainment for me, but I like the winner. I think Asuka's a good fit for Bianca Belair. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a solid match, nothing mind-blowing, but, you know, it is great to see, just to see women's Elimination Chamber matches, because, you know, there was a time when that wasn't necessarily a thing. It wasn't a thing, right? When was the first one? Maybe 4 or 5 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Wasn't it Alexa Bliss that had won the first one ever? And Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, so you know, it's good to see them in there, like getting into it. Yeah, I thought it was solid. Maybe not something that I'll, you know, in a few months, I'm not likely to be like, oh, I need to rewatch that. But yeah, it was certainly pretty good and right result for sure. I'm glad we've got. Yeah, I'm glad we're setting up the Asuka Bianca Belair storyline for sure. Also, yeah, apologies to the listener who may or may not have just heard a massive, military airplane flying right over my apartment.
Oh, well, I didn't hear it, so that's a good sign.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I was like, what's going on? I was like, the aliens have landed. if you did hear that, but hopefully you didn't.
I think we're probably safe. But yeah, either way, we've got some sound effects and high production value going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I get for living quite near an airport, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, everybody got their stuff in. Nobody really looked weak in this one. And I thought this was a solid way to start the show. They were kind of moving on to some of the bigger action, but Asuka getting there. And she's all creepy on Raw, and she's, you know, being kind of goofy. I thought Bianca Belair did a really good job of sort of selling the shock of what the heck is going on with this Asuka chick. Like, I would hope, my hope for Asuka is that they, on the way to WrestleMania, they sort of up her production value. Like, I love that she walks down to the ring, she's got the mask, they get the camera right close in there, she takes it off, reveals the face panel. WWE can up this production. Like, they can add to her in-ring entrance, like, give her some lights, give her something else, like, really sort of set the stage for the fact that she is like a legitimate number one contender. She's got a new look. She's got a new vibe about her. She's being kind of weird. They should go all in, I think, here. Am I offbeat thinking that?
No, not at all. Oh, yeah. And maybe at WrestleMania, maybe we will see something like that. Yeah, I agree. I think that now she's got this new persona. Well, not new, old, but
new to a lot of WWE fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Persona. I feel like it's a really good opportunity to like you said, up the production values and wow, blow everyone away. Because I think for certain wrestlers, a sort of very theatrical, you know, high production value, impressive, aesthetically pleasing entrance can really do wonders. And you know, she's got the, I think her entrance music suits her. It's the same entrance music she's had since NXT. Who knows, maybe they can mix it up a little bit. Maybe they can, I don't know, have they changed their music since
it's
NXT?
It's the same original song, but there's like it's like a remixed version. They've darkened and hardened it up a little bit. Like, it's not quite the same, but it is still got the same kind of samples and stuff. Like, the original tone of it is there, but it's kind of, they've changed it slightly. Like, it's not a brand new song or anything like that, but it is a little different.
Right, that's good. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, definitely Asuka's a huge star. She's an incredible in-ring worker. I think she's, you know, her work speaks for itself. She's brilliant. And you know, look, Bianca Belair is the face of that women's division. She's had back-to-back brilliant WrestleManias. And I think we're going to get another one, and I don't know what that result's going to be, but I believe Asuka is owed. I don't know if I would say owed, but I'm thinking back to Asuka winning the Rumble a few years ago and then losing to Charlotte at WrestleMania. So maybe things will go differently this time.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to win it or not, but she's probably, of all the women that were in that match, maybe the one that you could see upsetting Bianca Belair. Let's move on to the Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar match. I like this, but there's an asterisk beside this one for me. I like the idea that you're selling this Brock Lesnar find the coward's way out of this match. Like, he gets into the Hurt Lock, he can't get out of it, so he low blows his way out, which I thought was a little surprising because they had done a very successful job of making Bobby Lashley kind of the heel going into the pay-per-view and Lesnar the favorite. And then all of a sudden, you've got people back on the, oh, hey, Lashley's kind of cool train. Lesnar looks like kind of a wimp for breaking out of this and having to take the cheater sort of low blow route and get himself disqualified and whatever. I'm okay with that, I suppose, but they didn't really follow up on Raw with this for me. Like, yes, Bobby Lashley came out and he said, oh, yeah, he took the low blow and blah, 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 blah. But he mixed it in with this whole conversation about Bray Wyatt and anybody who disrespects him. There was no Lesnar. There was no real, like, selling this, hammering home that Lesnar kind of wimped out of this one. And I don't know. It sounds like there's not even necessarily a match as a given here that these two are going to have another contest before WrestleMania. Like, they might just push this off to the side for a bit and do something with Wyatt, which to me seems really weird. Like, not that I care if Leslie wrestles Lesnar again at WrestleMania 39. I don't know that I would necessarily do that. But if you're going to build this program and you haven't finished it off and then you run an angle like that at Elimination Chamber, it's not done. Like, you, you've got to finish the story and you've got to build on the fact that you just did this with Lesnar and made him look like kind of a coward for the first time ever in his career. And then you don't really follow up on it. Like, you kind of do, you sort of half-ass it. Like, that was weird for me. I didn't mind the match. I liked the finish, but I think they dropped the ball a little bit in following up. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. Yeah, I mean, I actually like, you know, I enjoyed what they did. It was short. I think that's what you want from a Brock Lesnar match. And I think that's ultimately definitely what people want from a Brock Lesnar Bobby Lashley match, right? You want them to come in and you want it to be intense and brutal from the get-go. You want them to knock seven shades of shit out of each other. And then, but you don't, I mean, you don't necessarily want it to end in a DQ, but if it doesn't end in a DQ, you assume it's going to go somewhere, and it might still go somewhere, but as it stands, they haven't followed up on it. And immediately, because, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't appear on TV every week. But if they don't do something soon, they're in danger of losing the momentum. So yeah, definitely got to figure something out.
Yeah, and even if Lesnar isn't a regular on TV, he will be a regular all the way to WrestleMania, because he's going to be at WrestleMania. Like, there's no way you're going to hold a WrestleMania and not have Brock Lesnar on it if he's part of your company. And then having Wyatt throw his name into this thing, and then having Lashley come out on Raw, and not really directly, he's sort of worked them all in together. I thought it was strange. Like, it just kind of was an odd decision. Having said that, I'm with you. I like the match a lot. Like, I thought all the way up, like, they were really physical, spear after spear, like F5, all these things that they did. I like, that's really well done. It didn't last that long. And then all of a sudden they did the DQ thing and he snaps again. And there's all this, like, did he go off script again and F5 the referee, which I don't buy. Like, I can't imagine if he legitimately went off script the first time and threw that ref over the railing, where was it, Royal Rumble, and then threw the steps on the table and he, you know, wasn't supposed to do that. Why would you do it again? Like,
yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, no, I think people are getting carried away with this whole Lesnar goes off script thing. But yeah, I liked it. I just wondering where it's going. And if they're not going to do it at WrestleMania, when are they going to do it? And it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Judgment Day versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. Yeah. So, you know what, to be totally honest with you, this match was kind of like forgettable for me. There wasn't a whole lot going on here. I'm like legitimately gonna have to look up who won. Like, I'm thinking back to it now. I'm thinking, I think Edge and Phoenix won, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I will. So you know what? I don't know how much the crowd played a part of this, but I remember watching this. I thought it was really fun and really well done, and I was like kind of into it. But that crowd was so hot that I think, you know, it could have been Finn Balor wrestling a paper bag and maybe it would have still been as enjoyable. That's how I felt about it. But in the moment I liked it, and I actually thought I don't know, Beth Phoenix. Well, here's what we can talk about since it sounds like you weren't super into the match.
No, I didn't mind the match itself. I just was like, I kind of don't remember it all that well. I'm with you. Like, Montreal crowd was really hot and everything was good. And I was enjoying the action of it, but I just, like, once it was over, I kind of forgot it.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that crowd, like, added to it a lot. But Beth Phoenix, I think as a worker, I think she was just way ahead of her time and peaked like 10 years too early, because if she was in her prime when, like, Bayley and Sasha Bank, like, you know, Bayley, Sasha, Becky, Paige, or Charlotte and all them were like coming up, I think, you know, she's a Hall of Famer for a reason, you know. But I just think, it's a shame that we didn't get, there's so many good matchups that we didn't get, because when she was at her peak there, the women's division just wasn't up to snuff, you know. It just wasn't really treated with the respect and, you know, dignity that it is now.
Yeah, she's solid. I'll tell you though, I'm going to ask you this question because I want to get your opinion on this. And I'm looking back at the winners and losers article that I wrote, and one of the things I said about this match was that this was a really good example of how one mistake can kind of make you forget everything else that was really good in the match. They forgave them, and the crowd was into it, and they got them back, and credit to all four people that were in the match, because there was an awkward moment when she was supposed to save Edge from the pin, and she didn't get back into the ring in time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
and it was super awkward, and the referee just stopped counting.
Right,
and Edge didn't kick out, and he sort of did, but like, it was like, oh, that was not good. Now, I don't know whose fault that was. I don't know exactly how that, but it kind of like took the wind right out of the sails of the match.
Yeah, and that definitely. I totally agree with you. Yeah, that was a little weird botch there. They didn't really do a good job of hiding. I think they got back into the swing of things afterwards, but they didn't do a very good job of hiding that. And it's crazy because that happens, you know, things like that happen a few times a year. They end up on Botchamania, but you'd think that there would be some sort of contingency plan in place. I don't know. Like, I guess it's so hard to, what do you do in that situation? Because if, you know, either the ref stops counting or he counts slower and then, you know, Edge kicks out. I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's you know, neither of us have ever worked a wrestling match, so we'll never know. But it's a difficult situation for sure. Yeah.
No, and I'm not saying, like I said, I don't know who to blame on that one, but I do remember seeing that and going, oh, that's too bad. Like, I just felt bad for everybody because I'm like, oh, man, they were doing so. I remember there was all the FU Dominic chants and there was all these other things. Now I'm thinking back about it that is like, oh, you're right. The crowd is really into this. And then that just sort of took it right out. And I was like, oh, that's too bad. And credit to them. They got it back. So that was really cool. The men's chamber match I thought was really good. Montez Ford was probably the standout performer for most people. He went on a crazy run of offense. He climbed up the cage and he did what we all do when we're little kids at the monkey bars on the playground, where we run our legs underneath our arms and then we kind of do that reverse. I don't know if we know how we're that bendy when we're little, but like, he did it as an adult and then dropped on the group of stars underneath him, and then gets stomped on the platform and is kind of unconscious, and they sort of have to open the chamber to get him out of the ring, which of course lets Logan Paul an opportunity to come in. He stomps Seth Rollins. Austin Theory then pins Seth Rollins, and Austin Theory retains his United States Championship. I thought this was really well done. I thought everybody had some really solid moments. I thought everybody looked really good and everybody got their stuff in. Damian Priest might've been the one person for me that sort of flew under the radar in all of this, but I thought everybody else was really good. And once the stomp happened on Montez Ford and that injury thing, I'm like, I knew right away Logan Paul's coming in. Like, it just, it was super predictable, but it was still really well done. So I don't want to suggest that the predictability of it ruined it for me, because it didn't. I thought that was really smart. And for people that were like, oh, is Montez Ford really hurt? No, he just did a really good job of making you think.
Yeah,
he
sold that really well. And do you know what? He worked me for a few seconds. There was a few seconds there where I thought it was real. And then I quickly, you know, because when they showed the replay of the stomp, I was like, he protected himself very, very well on that. And yeah, he was. And remember, I predicted this on the last episode. You know, I was talking about how I think this, he's gonna shine here. He's brilliant. I think he has actually like all of the ingredients. I think I'll be very surprised. Like, we say stuff like this all the time, and people can accuse us of fantasy booking or whatever. I'll be very surprised if he isn't WWE champion at some point in the next, you know, 5 or 6 years. I hope it's sooner than that. But then, you know, I say that, but you just never know these days, do you? There's a few wrestlers on that roster that I would have said that about, and it never came to fruition. So yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this: is he going to do it as? I don't disagree with you, but I am very curious to see how it happens. Like, do you think he gets the Big E babyface championship win? And then maybe it doesn't really last, or does he need to go heel? Because I know Montez Ford would be a really solid heel. Like, that guy's personality is off the charts. And if you gave him an opportunity to be a bad guy, he'd probably knock it out of the park.
I believe so too, yeah.
So would he get it as the heel? Would he have to turn to get this opportunity? Or do you think he can do it as a babyface and the popular guy that everybody loves? Like, sometimes the best babyfaces are heels first, and he hasn't really done that. Yeah. So where do you think it goes if he's going to
I think either, honestly. I can see him doing either. But yeah, I mean, the obvious comparison is a, you know, a Rockers situation, you know, and maybe he turns on Angelo Dawkins at some point. But I also just think he's so charismatic that he does have some, he's got crossover appeal, I think. And he's so yeah, I think certainly I would expect to see him as a babyface champion. I think, but I also think that, yeah, I don't know what it is, because Big E's reign was kind of, I don't want to say it was cut short, because, you know, it just ended, But it should have been a bit more. I feel like it should have gone on to be a little bit more memorable than it was, you know, because I think he was a pretty, for those few months that he was the face of the company, he was, you know, really, really good at that. You know, he was showing up on the you know, college football things and the you know, Good Morning America or whatever, and he was knocking it out of the park. So yeah, I would hope that Montez, if and when he has a run, it's a little bit more memorable.
Yeah, because to me, like, you could maybe even make the Kofi Kingston comparison, but Kofi to me got the run he got because he put in all that time and all that effort and never really got the opportunity. And he was sort of the underdog, like, wow, he won it, right? Like, that's really cool. Big E and Montez Ford to me are very similar in the fact that they're just such loud personalities that you can't help but really find fun to watch. And that's what Montez Ford is to me. And the more that he starts to show this stuff, he's really good. Now, Big E's the big, strong dude that does all these really, and Montez Ford's a really athletic guy that flies around. But both of them, their personalities are so big that you can't help but be attracted to them, right? They have that thing, that it thing about them that you kind of like, yeah, this is somebody that we could see, you know, running the ship here for a little while, whether it's just a few months or a year or whatever. But yeah, I do also think that there's a little bit of like The Rock in Montez Ford, and that maybe he needs that heel where he could just do some of his things and his catchphrases and be really cocky. And those things are just like cool things as a bad guy. And you just love him as a bad guy. So I don't know what I would do with him, but I do believe that this was probably the match that has shown, people knew he was good, but like, this shined a lot of like, oh, he's good. Like, he's really good. And can do a lot of things, not just one dimensional. Like, he sells the injury and you feel bad for him. Like, he did a good job. I thought that was really good. What about the Sami Zayn Roman Reigns match? This was really good. Like, the match was solid, and you kind of probably knew it was going to be, right? Sami Zayn is so good, and people forget how good he is when he's got this character that he's doing that you just kind of fall in love with, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's just dragged me right into the emotion and drama of this whole thing. But he's such a good wrestler, and Roman Reigns is much better than people give him credit for, especially as a heel. But I thought this was a really good match. I just want to know what you think about the fact that Sami didn't win. Like, is that the right call to make? Does it bother you? Do you think that this was, because I think we both probably figured, yeah, they want us to think he's going to win, and maybe there's like the longest shot possible, but we kind of knew he wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
But do you think that was the right call to not have him win it?
In my opinion, I think, so first of all, the match was brilliant, and Sami Zayn is an incredibly gifted in-ring performer. Everybody knows that. We talked about this last time. He is so good in the ring. Go back and watch some of his NXT matches. Watch the, you know, the obvious one is the match with Nakamura, but he had brilliant matches with Kevin Owens and Pac and, you know, a bunch of other guys down there. Like you said, him and Roman had really good chemistry, and the match was brilliant. I personally, the way that everything, for me, all the pieces were fitting together, and like, I knew that Sami wasn't going to win, right? They at no point in that match did I really think he was going to. But I personally think that he should have. I know that it's a very awkward time of year for that to happen. And I know that they have pieces in place and things that they have, events that they want to transpire when they want them to transpire, right? It seems pretty obvious and that they want to anoint Cody Rhodes as the face of the company at WrestleMania. And I totally, totally get that. But for me, the way that this storyline has been playing out and the way that the fans have been reacting to it and the way that Sami Zayn has been just killing absolutely everything. And the fact that it is, at the end of the day, is a scripted TV show and they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and quite easily course correct if things don't work out. We've seen them do it time and time again. I think Sami Zayn should have won. Now what you do after that, you know, you've still got options. People go on about, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter. You know, I've been debating with people on Twitter today. People talk about how you can't have a historic reign end at a B pay-per-view. Yes, you can. Why can't you? Who cares? Do you know what I mean? I totally get that you know, it's a, what is it, a 3 year, how long has he been champion, 3 years or something?
Roman Reigns,
yeah
almost 910 12 days,
right? And so I get that, obviously, on paper, if I'm if I've got like if I'm fantasy booking something on like a video game, you know, I'm gonna be like, well, yeah, this reign's gonna be 900 days and it's gonna end at WrestleMania in Los Angeles in 2023. But you have to be able to, there's room for improvisation in pro wrestling, and there needs to be, sometimes you just need to sort of just pull the trigger on something. And even if it is like, some people I've been seeing on Twitter have been saying that the Sammy thing is like a flash in the pan. Like someone used the word like territorial wrestling fans are responding to him, despite the fact that he's been getting these reactions in across every city in the US, not just in his hometown. Obviously the Montreal reaction was far bigger, but just look at that Royal Rumble pop, you know, look at, even he was generating like nuclear heat as a heel in other places. And then again, I refer you back to some of his NXT stuff, you know, his NXT championship reign wasn't super historic. It didn't last that long, and he only had one reign, but he was so over in NXT. So the notion that Sami Zayn isn't championship material, I think is nonsense. I think he's, you know, he has every ingredient necessary to be a champion in that company. He can do, the only thing he doesn't have is that he can't go to Saudi Arabia because of his ethnicity and some of his, you know, ideological beliefs. And I think that might be part of the reason why he's not. And also the fact that Saudi Arabia is potentially, you know, in the running to purchase the company. But yeah, the notion that he's not championship material, that he can't be the face of the company, to me is nonsense, especially when you actually look at the lineage of that title and you look at some of the people that they have decided, you know, was Great Khali the championship material? Was he the right person to be the face of the company? I don't know. So yeah, it just seems silly to me. So yeah, I would have had, personally, I think that they should have called an audible, had him win, and then try to figure something out between now. You've got 5 weeks between, you've got 5 Raws and 5 SmackDowns to figure something else out. If you still, and also the WrestleMania is 2 nights. You can have a Roman Sammy rematch night one, and then you can have Sammy and Cody, or Roman and Cody, or a triple threat match on night two. Do you know what I mean? There are things they could have done. That's just me. I don't know how you feel about it, but yeah, personally, I think that he should have won, and I think he would have been a worthy and deserving champion. I think if you say that he's not championship material, if you're sort of using the same arguments as kayfabe villains, then you're probably in the wrong, because if you remember, that's what the Authority used to say about Daniel Bryan back during the Yes Movement. So yeah, that's my take.
Well, I'll definitely agree with you in that I think Sami Zayn is championship material. Like, I think he could win the title and he could carry it for a little while. I also kind of agree with him that maybe he's not the guy that's going to carry it for a long time or be the face of the WWE, you know, in terms of like, okay, we're going to market everything around this guy. I do think that the hype would probably fade after a little bit of time. So you can't probably have him hold the belt for too long. That said, I do think that he would make a very good champion, and I do think that you should, and WWE should give it to him at some point. My only argument would be, this isn't necessarily just about Sami Zayn anymore, right? This, like, you've got Daniel Bryan winning. It was just Daniel Bryan. Whoever he won it from was irrelevant. It didn't matter if it was Triple H or Randy Orton or Batista. It was just about Daniel Bryan winning it. That was all that it was. Now you've got Sami Zayn sort of mixed in with two other things. One, they've, like you said, they've got Cody Rhodes pegged to do this thing probably, but she's also got this 900-day reign of Roman Reigns. And to me, it's not the same, but if there's anything close to ballparking what this means to WWE, it's the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania. So if you take this away from Roman Reigns on an audible, you can't ever do that again. Like, if you have Roman Reigns lose the title to Sami Zayn, it's huge for Sami Zayn, but you can never have Roman Reigns lose these belts again. So especially after this massive run he's gone on. So when you do decide to remove these titles away from Roman Reigns, you need to be sure that that's the move that you wanted to make, because it isn't just about Sami winning. It's about Roman losing. And to me, that's really important. And my argument would be, you can always have Sami Zayn win it again. Like, yeah, he didn't win it this time, but if you decide you want to call the audible and you go, oh man, we screwed that up, we really should have had, you can shift gears and go, okay, we're going to give it to him, but we're going to build this up again. right? Because the fans are still with him. And now they're kind of like, man, he didn't get the chance to do it the first time. Let's really rally behind him and see if we can't get him to win it on a rematch or something, or against somebody else, or whatever the case may be. But that would be my only argument, is that it's like, once you pull that from Roman Reigns, you've taken it off, and you've just removed all of those 3 years of his run.
Right.
As the so that would be my, you got to think about that if you're WWE, right? So I think it was more about, not just about Sami Zayn winning and having that moment, right? The Mick Foley moment when it's like, oh my gosh. But it is now, okay, who did he take it from? Oh yeah, he just happened to he beat Roman Reigns. Like, we've been building this guy for 3 years so that whoever took it was the guy. And that if Sammy's not the guy, but he is the person who can win the title for a bit, then you don't do it with Roman Reigns, is my opinion. But
yeah,
that's personal for everybody, right? Like, I don't disagree with you. I think Sammy's,
and that's a much better argument than most people have been making. The big argument I've seen is that he's not championship material, and that he was, because he was wrestling Johnny Knoxville last year, that means he's not, he can't be taken seriously as a champion this year, despite the fact that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Roman Reigns was saying suffering succotash and having dog food poured all over him. Do you know what I mean? This is, nobody is, it's, you know, you can rescue, there are very few wrestlers and booking decisions that can't be rectified. And, you know, I think, you know, as wrestling fans, we forgive and forget pretty easily. You know, we've done it time and time again. So
and my argument being is that the one thing we've not really ever forgiven WWE for is having the Undertaker lose. And like I said, it's not the same. These are not, like, this is in a, whatever it is, 21-year streak. It's 3 years, but it's still big. Like, nobody has run the table like Roman Reigns in wrestling
forever, in a long time.
So when you do pull the trigger on having him lose, it needs to be as big a deal as you need it to be, right? And that's my only whatever, is like, I would really have to think about it. If I'm like, who's taking it from him? Is it just about the guy who wins it, or is it about also who defeated the guy that has run this show for 3 years, right?
Right. And what they did do was the post-match stuff too, because I think if they hadn't have done that, I think maybe people, like I did mention this last week, but the WWE fan base right now is a lot more willing to just sort of accept what's put in front of them and not really complain too much. But I do think that they would have, the post-match stuff that they did with KO coming out was, you know, booking-wise, it didn't make a lot of sense, because why didn't he come out earlier?
Yeah, why not help him here?
Right, exactly. But I think it was smart of them to do that ultimately, because I think they would have had some pretty loud boos and weird reactions to deal with.
Well, and they did, I think, try to explain that on Monday's Raw. Like, what did you? What was your reaction to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn starting the show and Sami sort of, not pleading, but like, let's do this together. I know that we have history. I know that I've said some stuff and I've done some stuff, and you've told me that I was going to get burned and I got burned, but let's do this together because we can't take them down by ourselves. And then Kevin says, yeah, I didn't come out and help you because it wasn't helping you. I'm helping my family and making sure that nobody gets to get a beat down like I got at the Royal Rumble while you just stood there and watched and blah, blah, blah. Like, they did a decent job of kind of saying, this is why Kevin Owens didn't come out there. And then he's like, I'm not working with you. I'm going to keep fighting them on my own. Where do you think this goes? Are they just slow building the eventual, you know, reconnection between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Because I am a little bit confused about what is going on with Jey Uso and what's happening with Kevin Owens. Like, when Jey walked out on the Bloodline was it the Rumble? I just was really... It was like, what are they going to do here? Like, it's kind of an odd sort of thing. They clearly have a plan. I don't know what it is. I'm assuming it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos at some point, but they're really slow building this thing. Like, Sami's not together with Kevin. Jay's not together with Jimmy. Like, they're going to have to figure that out in a matter of a few weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, when in doubt, take the Mega Powers Explode storyline and run it back, I guess. That's... I feel like we're getting, you know, we're building to a reunion, and we're going to get a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos match at WrestleMania. It seems to be the way things are going. That might seem like a little bit of a wet blanket after the reactions that Sami Zayn's been getting. But, you know, I think, probably we're going to see the Bloodline title reigns come to an end at WrestleMania.
Like, do you think they're going to have this so that when the Usos go to defend the titles against Kevin and Sammy, that Jay's still not 100% sure where his allegiance lies? And
yeah, I'm not sure.
That
yeah.
might be the reason they lose, is because Jay's not totally committed. Like, is that where they're going with this? Because it is a strange decision. I think it could work, but it's like an odd choice. Like, I just was like...
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you still want to get... You've got to get a match out of those four. And if one of them is not playing ball, you know, kayfabe isn't playing ball, then how do you... You can't have a handicap match. I mean, I guess you could, but yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm not sure. Well, they got five Raws and five SmackDowns to figure something out if they haven't got it planned already. So yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Well, I'm assuming they do, and that's one of the things they brought up at the very beginning of the program here this week, because we talk about Brock Lesnar and what he's going to be doing, and we've got Bray Wyatt mixing himself in with Lashley and Lesnar and all this stuff. But then Omos challenges Brock Lesnar. He's going to show up this Monday to decide whether or not he's going to accept the challenge. This can't be a WrestleMania match, is it?
If it is, it smells like Vince booking to me. But yeah, I mean, it probably is. I mean, yeah.
Like, do they really think of all the choices that they have that that's the one that people would want to see?
I don't know. I think they just want to have it's one of those. I agree with you that I don't think anybody is really interested in that. But I think from their side, they're like, well, it's, you know, it's a spectacle match, right? It's two big boys, one massive freak of a guy, and then Omos. So yeah, I guess that's, you know, that's where they're coming from. But maybe something happens, maybe it's a swerve, who knows.
Well, that's what I was thinking too, right? Because you got the Hurt Business involved here, and there's been rumors of Lashley and the Hurt Business kind of doing their thing again. But I've also been watching the way they've this sort of up and down book Bobby Lashley. He's half heel, half babyface. And I don't know if he's going to join the Hurt Business and how you swing that. So I do believe WWE's got these things they're thinking about, and they know what they kind of want to do to get from A to B, but it's kind of like, it's hard to sort of picture it. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, the unpredictability of it is probably good, but you're also like, let's hope they pull it off, because if they don't pull it off, it's going to be really weird.
Yeah.
Like the Wyatt stuff that we've been talking about forever. It's all been really weird and not necessarily on a great, like, this is a good thing. This is kind of a odd thing, right?
Yeah. And then there's also the whole, you know, we talk about stuff being unpredictable, which is good. There's also, you know, the top of the card is pretty predictable, right? But maybe that could potentially be a swerve too. You know, maybe we see, something, maybe Roman retains and shocks everybody.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get the chance to talk about this because we're running out of time. We've only got like a minute and a half here, but I was going to ask you about the whole Ariel Helwani and Tony Khan drama that's been going on here, because it's been very much at the front of social media and AEW and blah, 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 blah. We'll have to get into this and Tony Khan maybe after we watch Dynamite here this week and see what AEW is doing, because we haven't really talked much about AEW in the last little bit. So we should probably do that on the next episode. But I do want to get your take on this. Tony Khan is such an interesting, and not necessarily in a positive way, character that it's worth a conversation, because he's picking fights with almost everybody, and sometimes he doesn't come out looking so hot. So I did want to get your take on that. We won't have time to do that, but let's leave that as a cliffhanger for the next episode, because I think that'll be a fun conversation to have. And then we'll run through Dynamite. Sound good?
Yep. Sounds good to me, bro.
All right. Thanks. Everybody else, we appreciate you listening. Please download, subscribe, share this with your friends, and share this with anybody else you think want to have to listen. Go to thesportster.com and read all the articles about WWE and AEW, and we will talk to you and have a fun one with you on the next one. This is another edition of The Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.